Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is truly mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our God is love. He is the God of love. His heart is full of love towards everyone. One day, we're all going to stand before everybody, even the wicked. There'll be set times that people stand before in their groups. There are five judgments. The last judgment is the great white throne judgment. This is after everything is over. This is after the tribulation is over. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ is over. The last war is over. Everything done. You can read about it in Revelation, the last chapters of Revelation. Now, this judgment is the judgment of the wicked dead. And all of the wicked dead will be raised up and they will appear before the great white throne judgment of God. And then the Lord will judge them for their deed. None of the people in this judgment are His people. These are all the souls that went to hell. Everyone that believed lies. Everyone that turned their back. People that refused to get saved. People that kept putting it off and never got saved. People who got saved and went back to the world. This is the great white throne judgment. Nobody there belonged to God. So, and the word of God says that they're going to worship God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one thing that we all have in common. This will take a long time from now. Over 1,000 years. But it's going to happen. At this judgment, people will know who God is. But they won't benefit from it. And then something interesting is going to happen. The Lord's going to reward them for whatever they did. And then He's going to put all of them in the lake of fire. See, if whatever you do is right, God will reward you for it. But whether you're saved or not, that's up to you. And those who refuse to get saved, they're going to be in this judgment. This is not good for those who turn their back. The Lord has to protect heaven. And He can't let sin in it. If we attach ourselves to sin, we can't go. We have to walk in the light of God's word. God requires us to walk in the light that we have. He wants us to endeavor to learn and grow. The last broadcast, we ended on the website section of the broadcast. See, that every broadcast, remember, they're 30 minutes long, or right about 30 minutes long. And on the radio broadcast is 15 minutes. But the website on newlivingletters.com, you can listen to the whole broadcast. And at the end of it, we were saying that how important it is to obey God and operate, reject the sins that you know about. Reject all the sins that you know is wrong. Now, a person sin is one thing, and they can be wrong about the details of what they believe. And we gave an example how, in that last broadcast, how there were times that I was taught things that were not true, and I thought they were right for a time. I was wrong about some of the things that I was taught. You know, one was how, you know, I went to the church, they said, women can't wear pants. or shouldn't wear pants. And then they also said women shouldn't preach. And over time, paying attention to the Lord, I realized that I was wrong. But you can be wrong about something and think you're right at the same time. But when it comes to sin, God defines the sins that will kill you. That's the lust of the flesh, fornication, adultery, the lust of the eye, greed to the point that you put it before God and you endeavor and go after riches and things and it consumes your life. It takes you down a path of compromise. And you start betraying people that you love just to get ahead. You start betraying yourself for more stuff. And you start doing, and the enemy will control you with it. You start fearing that you'll be poor. And you're living in God's kingdom, which if you do his ways, you live a way that works, and you will prosper anyway. And it blinds your eyes to the good, and it holds you on a path of darkness. That's what greed will do. That's what the lust of the eye, and it's never satisfied. You can never have enough when you're caught up in that satanic trap. And the pride of life. Now that's the worst one of the three. And people usually get in pride after they've gotten into the first two. Pride is when you put your will above God's will. That's when pride looks within. Your focus is opposite to where it should be. When people are in pride, they put themselves first, just like Satan did. We explained in the last broadcast how he wanted to take God's kingdom. He wanted to put himself first and God last. He wanted to take something he didn't even work for. God gave him a kingdom. All he had to do is be faithful with his kingdom and make it go forward according to God's ways, according to the foundation of love. And he went into a wild pursuit of fame and fortune. He was going to put himself, raise himself up over everybody, even God. And he doesn't have the wisdom, and it's obvious, he doesn't have the wisdom it takes to run the universe. And Lucifer was not the greatest angel ever. There were five classes of angels that was created a long time before God created him. There are angels that were ancient. When I mean ancient, I'm talking ancient compared to the time that God made him. There's wisdom he can't even comprehend. So he had a jurisdiction. He was a leader. He was a cherub. He had people under him. He had angels under him. But he wanted to promote himself above five classes of angels. The clouds, the stars. He wanted to sit also in the sides of the north. Be like the Most High. Wasn't qualified. Well, it's the same thing when people are in pride. They get offended. They always get offended when somebody does something better than them. And they will work evil against that person. They will ostracize that person. They will try to demote that person, defame that person. And we don't have a right to do that. The way we treat man is simultaneously and exactly the way we treat God in real time. If I do you wrong, I'm doing God wrong. According to John, and it's the truth. The way you love God is the same way that you love man, and it's no different. The way you love man is the same way you love God. So if you say you love God and you're in church worshiping God, you love God, but you hate your brother somewhere, or you hate your sister standing right next to you. That's the way you feel about God too. It can't be separated. Even your enemies. The way you treat your enemies is the way you treat God. We all have enemies because some people just don't like God, and the reason they don't like you is because they don't like God either. They don't say it, but that's the way it is. They're tied together. The way we treat each other is the way we treat God. If we backbite against people, we backbiting against God too. People do things that's crazy and foolish, and we can tell because we can judge right from wrong. I don't want people to take the worst path ever, but sometimes people do. And I search my heart to make sure I love every person. And I can tell if I love them if I'm sincerely praying for them. And if I get mad, I go to God and I want to make things right. And I want to make sure that I'm right in my heart towards them because I love God. I want to love God. But the real test is how I treat people. You know, whatever I do, I want it to be done according to love. And people are not, this is something you have to manage yourself about. It's not automatic that you're going to walk in love all the time. Because the enemy always speaks the worst of people. There's an influence out there, and when he's an accuser, and he always point out the worst in people. The television shows, a lot of them, they point out the worst in people. They judge people. The talk shows, they judge people. The news, I can't stand to watch the news sometimes. They talk about everybody. They talk about the Republicans. They talk about the Democrats. All of these are God's people. You don't have a right to hate somebody. Though people may do you wrong, love them first. And sometimes there's a way to win your brother. And sometimes it's not going to happen. But don't let your love fail. Because if you want to win in this life, love is the way to go. It puts you in every advantage. But that's not why I love people. I love people because it's right. I receive revelation from the Lord. And we talked about that also. You have to be receptive to the things of God. As I learned to love, it was easy for my faith to work. I pleased God. He could relate to me. And then I could receive what he had to say. I could relate to him. Love took me to the point where I could relate to him, to where I could understand him. The more I love people, the more I realize he loves me. And I saw a living responsibility to love everybody. And I said, well, Lord, teach me how to do it. I don't want to fail in this because it's too important. If I can do this, I can do anything. But I wasn't doing it to be promoted. But promotion is in it. I don't tithe only so that God will bless me. But tithing is an expression of your love. And a blessing is in it. A need has to be met. When you meet the needs of the kingdom meets the needs of you. When you meet the needs of the kingdom meets the needs of you. Every time. If you go to Wall Street and you invest hundreds of dollars in a company of people, it may work out for you. You may get a great return on your investment. And then you may not. Something might happen and you'll lose everything. Or it'll stay the same for a very long time. Or you may get a little bit of return on your money. Who knows? Most people hope it'll at least be better than what's in the bank. But it's risky. It's the next thing to gambling. It's not wrong, but it's, you know, it's not guaranteed. But when you invest in the kingdom, you always get a return on it. You cannot give to God and go out worse than you came in. It's impossible. It is impossible. Good things happen when you give to the kingdom. Cornelius gave to the Jews and helped them build the temple. And he got a return. The apostles didn't realize that God wanted to save the Gentiles exactly like he saves the Jews. And the Lord gave Peter a vision. Three visions about the Gentiles. In Corinthians chapter 10, you can read about it for yourself. And the Lord sent him to Cornelius' house. And he preached the gospel and he got saved. And all of his and his friends that were there, his family. And then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the same time. Even before they were baptized in water. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they believed his gospel. And the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Read it for yourself. Why? Because he attracted the Lord. He expressed love towards God. But he didn't know, he did not know that he needed to be saved through Jesus Christ. So the Lord sent, see, the angels can't preach the gospel. The angels sent when he got Peter and told him what to do. And he went. And he preached. And Cornelius got saved because he expressed love towards God. The tithe, when you give to the kingdom, God meets your greatest needs first. Sometimes it'll come back as money, more money. Most of the time, a lot of times it does. It can come back as anything you need. And when God gives you knowledge, that knowledge it can trump all the money he could have given you because you could have, with that knowledge, you can avoid mistakes. Just like Cornelius, he gave him information about Jesus Christ and he got saved and then the Lord blessed him some more. See, when you express love towards God, he expressed love towards God through expressing love towards man. The way we love man is the way we love God. Can't be separated. So I look at things through the eye of God's salvation. He loves us. And he wants us to go forward in him. We can do more for God through love than any other way. When I let people know God loves you, you mean something to him. He died for, he shed blood for you. I believe it this way. He did it for you individually and collectively for everybody. For every man born on this earth. Jesus died for him. Made it legal for them to be in the kingdom of God. But it's our responsibility to walk the line. Don't do the things that will kill you. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, sins of the flesh, witchcraft, sins of pride, being a thief, sins of greed. Do what's right. See, the sins that cause every sin is anti. It's anti-Christ. And it's anti-God. Every sin. Murder is anti-God. See, the terrorists, they contradict themselves. They're killing people supposed to be for God. But their whole religion is based on pride and not love. All of it. Because it's a deviation from the truth. It's a misnomer, a lie, a farce. A man called himself a prophet and started another religion that God didn't ordain. Now he's in hell and the people who follow him go to hell. But let me tell you right now, Jesus Christ is alive. And it's not on the news, but Jesus is healing people in Iran. People are getting saved. Jesus is appearing to people in Muslim countries and they are getting saved by the thousands. One preacher prayed for a man. He got saved. He got healed. And the man called back on his broadcast, radio broadcast over there. And the man told him, said, hey, the Lord healed me of that disease I had. And he was just rejoicing and rejoicing. But the man was not, he wasn't rejoicing. He just told him a fact. He said, why are you rejoicing? It's normal for God to heal. He said, we always get healed over here. See, the news, they shut up about what's right. They preach stuff to get you all in a panic. That's how the enemy always do. He just shut up. He pulled their strings till they don't talk about what's really going on. And there are evil people over there. They kill people. They kill Christians. But Christians are getting saved by the thousands. And the people that Jesus the people that Jesus appeared to, they preach. Some of them were terrorists. But they had a salvageable heart, and when they heard the word, they got saved. See, you can't stifle the word of God. Satan don't want you to know the Bible, but it's the number one seller of books every year. I just wish people would take time and study. God loves us, and his love runs deep. He'll save anybody that will hear him out and take him serious. He loves us, folks. That's just the way it is. That's his heart. His love don't change or deviate. And he's still saving people. And now it's time for him to come back. And if you think, well, I'm going to get saved later, you may not have later. You might get killed before later. Satan might harden your heart worse than he already did. If you're reluctant to get saved, Satan has something to work with. And you don't want to give your life over to some kind. You don't want to be in that great white throne judgment. There are none of God's people standing there. We won't be around when the white throne judgment is taking place. Those that love God would not be there, and that's a good thing. You don't want to go to the white throne judgment, because if you do, you're on Satan's side. You died in deception or rebellion. But what you have in common with everybody else there is that you didn't get saved. And that's enough to take you right on down the hill. If you want to go to hell, just don't do nothing. Don't ask God to save you, and don't do anything. And if you believe another way, if you believe another path, you're still going to hell. I'm not being mean. I'm warning you. This is fair warning. This is the word of God. It took the blood of Jesus to save us. He shed his blood, his innocent blood, for guilty society. We were guilty. And his blood made us innocent. His blood made us innocent. He washed away our sins because we didn't know. We didn't know things for how they really are. We never saw God. But when we take God at his word, the blood makes us righteous when we believe it. When we believe in the word, in the living word of God, and it makes us righteous. God accounts us righteous, and he gives us a brand new heart. And we want to do right. Now you have to build your heart up in the Word of God. If you buy a brand new computer and you want it to do things, certain things, you have to program it so that it can do it. It's capable. You got a brand new heart. Now you got to fill it with God's Word so you can be capable. And you got old stuff and viruses in your mind, just like a computer. A good computer can have viruses. You got to wipe the viruses out so it won't contaminate the whole computer. Then the computer is useful. But you, a computer with a bunch of viruses is aggravating. You want to throw it against the wall. And you don't want to put something on there that can contaminate other things you want to keep. So if God gave you a brand new heart, use it to purify your mind. The only way to do that is to receive God's word in your heart. You receive God's word in your heart, then you can renew your mind and you can walk in the peace of God. Because all the contaminants of this world, the aggravations, the uncertainty, the doubt, the unbelief, those are trained. You have to be trained to doubt. But this world is groomed in it. And you learn to doubt God. You learn to be in unbelief. You learn to be in fear. And because of that, you learn false information. And you think it's true. But the word of God will drive out the poison. And then you can live sober. See, it's an example. The Israelites had to drive the Philistines out of their land, out of Canaanite, because God gave that Canaan land to them. They were driving out the people because the people had evil influence. Some were witches, some were warlocks, and they were people that rejected God, believed wrong. And remember, every time Satan says something, it sounds good from a certain point of view. It's a virus that's not detectable. They were supposed to drive them out and love God, and everything would have been renewed. He said, if you don't drive them out, they'll be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. And they didn't drive them all out, and that's exactly what happened. They had trouble ever since. They could have been put to a greater advantage. And then their children would have saw the life of God, and they would have known to, they would have had more people dedicated to God. All Christians are not dedicated. You become dedicated when you draw near to the Lord, and he draw near to you, and you learn who he is, and you grow strong in the Lord. And then the enemy can't just tell you something, and you believe it. Otherwise, you'll be wrong thinking you're right. And your abilities will be weaker. As I learn who God is, as I learn his ways, his rudiments, the word of God, my life gets greater and greater and better and greater and better and greater. So it is with everybody. Be encouraged to follow God throughout your life. Seek him and receive what he has to say, because God has mighty words to say to us. Now remember, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless you and teach you as long as you receive him. Until next time, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.